Episode 1064. What the facts too? More facts.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono, and we are back.
We're back
with more facts.
Wow. I mean, the last one, you really knocked my socks off. That's how people say that phrase, right?
Yeah.
I went into that episode with low expectations because all he told me is this episode's going to be about facts.
Right.
But then, wow, what an episode.
So
I thought about the episode quite a bit since then, specifically the directionally accurate.
Yeah, that's a really helpful framing to put on things, especially like you can see people getting stuck on that. They can't let something go because it's not perfectly accurate, and it winds up being a maze you just sort of never get out of.
Yeah.
But this episode is really just kind of a hodgepodge of notes that I've had. I've been thinking about that same topic. So if you haven't heard the first What the Facts, you should probably listen to that first.
I just checked. It wasn't that long ago. Episode 1059, What the Facts.
Yeah, so you should probably listen to that first, because this is really just more an assortment of thoughts coming out of that episode, a few other things to talk about. It's a really interesting topic, and it's one that is a little unsettling to kind of stare into. So if you remember, we talked about that episode, how you can arrive at the same conclusions with completely wrong facts, right? Like I used a few different examples, but, you know, the one would be some of the opinion on the biblical canon and all of that. I talked about that. And then I used the example of, like, it's sort of like you set out very carefully planning to get somewhere. And then, you know, you arrive there after a great deal of preparation. And then somebody else wanders out of the house blind and drunk and winds up at the exact same place that you did. And that's sort of what it feels like to be surrounded by facts. So one of the questions I first started playing with coming out of that episode was, well, there's got to be cases, though, where you really do need the facts, what we might call must-have facts. Like, I can come up with cases where they don't matter, but there's got to be cases where if you have this fact wrong, you're just off base. And then I couldn't think of any, at least not absolutely. So let me explain what I mean by this. So if part of the argument is that substitute facts, made up after the fact facts, are just as good as real facts when it comes to supporting our conclusions, then there's got to be instances where that wouldn't work. And I could think of cases conditionally where that wasn't. For example, if you take your car into the mechanic, it's probably important that the mechanic knows certain facts about the way the car works. So conditionally, we could say scientific facts are required, but not absolutely. Because for people like you and I, neither of us who are terribly mechanical, if you believe that your car runs because there's a tiny little wizard inside of it who is using magic to make it run, I mean, that's a dumb belief that's wrong. It's not factual, but functionally it works just as well for you, right? You could go through your whole life believing that, and it probably wouldn't change a thing for you. You know, what about when you have to take your car to the mechanic? Well, they're the priests who know how to talk to the wizard. Right. What about when you fill your car up with gas? Why do you do that if it's all magic? Well, that's what the wizard eats. It's like you can kind of play this game with substitute facts. And as I started to pull on this, I realized I couldn't think of a single instance of a fact that is absolutely required. Can you?
Well, you know, start to think, you kind of went down this road, but you start to think theologically, like, is there theological facts that we must believe, or is the point of, for example, Christianity, that you have to have faith and there aren't exact facts you can prove
right
all the time? Sometimes there are.
I mean, well, that's an interesting one. So let's come back to theology in just a second. Keeping it just in the pragmatic, I don't think there's anything that humans absolutely have to believe factually in order to have a functional life. In other words, and I'm not talking about somebody being delusional. I'm talking about somebody being wrong. You know, so, you know, if you believe that, you know, flat earthers, perfect example of this, and people get all up in arms about flat earthers. I, of course, love them. And like, if you found out somebody you worked with who you otherwise thought was competent and liked and trusted and all of that was a flat earther, I think most people would say that would change my opinion about that person. But why? Why? Like, unless you're working for NASA or something where it actually matters, but why?
Like, it's, you know, maybe you're going to go this way, but it's the exact same thing with political stances.
Right.
You may like somebody a lot until you find out they believe the opposite thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about politics in a minute, because boy, facts come into it.
Yeah.
All over the place with that. And I have a fun little use case to talk about, you know, how facts work with politics. But yeah, it's like, for most of us, if you find out somebody has a dumb belief, quote unquote, who cares? It doesn't impact the way they do their job. So I'm not saying, you know, somebody who thinks the earth is flat because they also think that aliens have installed a microchip in their head and they're receiving transmissions from Mars. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about insanity. I'm talking about people who are otherwise normal, whatever that means, people who happen to have a belief that is, most of us would say, is not accurate. I can't think of a single instance of that where there is an absolutely must-believe fact. I mean, think about it. Do you have to believe in oxygen? No. Like, you don't. You actually don't functionally need any facts for your life to work, mm-hmm. which is wild. Like, when you actually start to think about that, it is completely wild. Now, maybe you could argue that there's a tipping point. Well, you could have one or two non-factual beliefs, but not too many. I don't know if that's true. I actually don't think that's true. Maybe from a societal perspective, but not absolutely. You know, I don't think there's any fact that you actually have to believe to make your life work.
Yeah, what you said about society is interesting, because there is this idea that whether we're right or wrong, a group needs to believe the same facts.
Yeah. And I actually do believe that, but that's not the same thing. Yeah.
No, it's not the same
thing. Not even remotely. No. Yeah, so I do believe there is such a thing as societal health that is dependent upon shared belief. But the key word there is belief, mm-hmm. not accurate.
Yeah.
Accuracy, right?
Yeah, now that you're saying that, I'm sure, well, it's got me thinking, and maybe the listeners, like, well, what are the things I believe that are just not right? Because we don't really know anything.
Well, of course there are.
I mean, yeah. So you start to, but I'm talking about like bigger things. Like you mentioned oxygen. Not that oxygen isn't real. We can prove that, I think, with science. But I'm sure there's things that are bigger in our life that we just take for granted. But do we know why we even believe that?
Right. Well, and it even gets wilder than that when you start to pull on the string. Because, so, you know, this new Game of Thrones series is out. And in the first two episodes, there have both been medical moments, one of which was a C-section, where you're like, holy crap, I'm glad we don't do things like that anymore. Like, you don't want to have a C-section before the year about 1950, I don't think. Very, very horrible. And then in this most recent episode, and this isn't any spoilers or anything, but there was a character who had injuries on his hand, and they had him put his hand into a bowl of maggots to chew off the dead flesh. And these are all, things like this are what medieval doctors did. And, you know, that, things like leeching, you know, the medieval medicine is horrible. I mean, so far the headline lesson from the new Game of Thrones is don't get into a time machine. You don't want to go back more than about 10 years. It was very bad. But get this, like, think about it this way. So all of that factually wrong, right? We let's just at least go with that. I mean, maybe there's some side benefit to sticking your hand in a bowl full of maggots, but I'm willing to go out on a limb and say not an actual method of healing. Unless we did that, we wouldn't get to where we are today. So let's at least say today our methods of healing are closer to being factually accurate, though we're going to touch on that in just a second too, when it comes to healing people, than they were when we were leeching and putting out bowls full of maggots. True. But unless we went through the maggot stage, we don't get to this. So to put it another way, the wrong belief, quote unquote, was necessary to get to the right belief, quote unquote.
Right. Because then, of course, you have to think, well, what will it be like in 100 years? Well, right. I think of 2022 as having horrible medicine.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's just wild to think about. It's not that, well, that was okay, but now what we have is better. It's like that's what we kind of expect for the future. We expect things to be better than what we have, but we still think ours works. It's like we look at that and say that was wrong. That was factually wrong. But we had to do that. Like that was a necessary part of getting to where we were. To put it very bluntly, wrong facts helped us get to actual healing.
Yes.
That's totally wild to think about. Okay,
and so we're probably still in the middle of wrong facts.
Yes.
And we just 100%. Don't realize
it. Okay, so go back to the theology question. What facts are required? Well, that's a difficult question. I'd say, you know, from Christianity, of course, the fact of the resurrection seems to be one that would be required for Orthodox belief in Christianity. But when you start talking about facts beyond that, it's really, really difficult. Especially since we start talking about God, we're talking more about negative theology. You know, there's maybe things that you can't believe, like facts that are ruled out. But what facts are actually required? What things do you actually have to buy into in order to have? And I'm not talking about doctrine. Well, maybe they're one and the same. I don't know. But it's an interesting question. Like, okay, you have to believe the Bible is true. Well, what does that mean? Right? We've dissected that statement a lot. Now, does that mean that you have to believe in young earth creationism? Well, a lot of people might say yes, but I'm going to say no. There's a number of us who are Christians who don't. Okay, so what does that mean? And like, you start to kind of get into a similar area where there seem to be, and I don't mean this to sound doctrinally relativistic, that's not my intention, but there seem to be quote-unquote wrong facts that still work. You can still plug them in. Again, I'm not talking about, well, things like the resurrection. I'm not talking about dogma. I'm talking about if you think the earth was created 6,000 years ago, I think you're wrong. I think you're not only wrong in terms of what happened, I think you're wrong about what the Bible teaches. But I think that belief still works, you know, to get you to Christianity. Mm-hmm. It still works.
Like it's functionally. It's not making you lose your faith.
Right, right.
It just, like you're saying, scientifically, you're just off.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so what's going on with all this? So as I started to think about this, and I started to think, especially intrigued by the idea of the metaphor I used of the adventurer who with careful planning arrives at the location, and then the idiot just sort of wanders into it. Like, what's going on there? Well, one idea that might be going on there is that ideas, I'm using my words wrong, but ideas, conclusions, beliefs, whatever, function very much like viruses. And here's what I mean by it. You had COVID. Did you ever go to Wuhan?
I did not.
Okay, but you still got COVID, right? I think ideas work the same way. In other words, to discover them, and there's some flaws in this, so I'll poke holes in it in a second. But to discover them, maybe you have to go through that long process. But once you have them and you start spreading them to other people require the illusion of having facts to support them, but it's not actually required at that point. In the same way, COVID can start at Wuhan and then you can get it having not actually been there. Like, you don't actually have to go there for it to be catching to you. So there's this whole complicated process to get it going. But after that, it can just sort of spread. I think ideas work the same way. Now, the flaw in that argument is that, or in that metaphor, is that the process of Fauci developing the virus in the Wuhan lab, or whatever he did, was...
Wait a second. That seems like a wrong fact.
Anyway, we're not talking about Fauci, which I'm the one who brought him up. But like, whatever developed that virus is analogous to facts. Like, they both had to be there, and then they're not necessary after the fact. Well, I don't think you actually need correct facts to reach an idea. You know, maybe you do. Maybe you need something. But so it kind of falls apart there. But it feels like there is this idea that something that at least resembles a fact, that at least is supportable, is necessary to come up with an idea, but after that it can spread like a virus. And it's interesting the way, you know, this tends to play out. So I'm fascinated by phenomenons like, and I could be completely off with my facts here, and maybe this is a dumb example because I just don't know enough, but I'm kind of fascinated by the fact of like climbing Mount Everest. So climbing Mount Everest, like, everybody does it nowadays, right? I mean, not literally, but if you wanted to climb Mount Everest or I wanted to, it's conceivable that we could.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not, you know, hyper adventurer sportsmen. We'd have to sacrifice a lot financially in terms of time and training. But if you said, I'm now dedicating the rest of my life to climbing Mount Everest, you could. But up until relatively recently, no one had done it. Okay, so what's going on there? Well, obviously, part of the answer is that we have better technology and blah, 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 blah. But I actually think there's a factual component here in that why had nobody climbed Mount Everest up until whenever Edmund Hillary did it, less than 100 years ago? Because nobody knew you could.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like we didn't have this fact. And then once somebody said, you can do it.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we can do it.
You hear the same type of thing with running races.
Yeah.
Where a certain speed has never been reached. And then after that speed is reached, maybe you do the mile. I'm just making this up, but you do the mile in some short time. Once that speed is reached and others can see that it is possible, then tons of people are now doing that.
Isn't that wild? It's like what's missing. Like, there's this fact that just has to be communicated to people. They need to catch this idea virus. Once they have that, none of their physical ability is trained. You know, now Mount Everest is so popular that it's, laden with garbage along the trail. So many people have walked up there. Like, it used to be, people would go and try Mount Everest and you'd probably die.
Mm-hmm.
You probably died, and you still could. But if you decided, or I decided, I'm going to dedicate my life to climbing Mount Everest, I wouldn't bet against you.
Mm-hmm.
You probably could do it. Which is really wild.
Yeah.
You know, this thing that would have killed people, now you can do.
People just need to know it's possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about a little bit about this idea of ideas as viruses a bit when it comes to politics. Because I'm really fascinated as I think about this, because here's how we like to think that politics works. Candidate A and candidate B are running, and candidate A says, you should vote for me because of blah, 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 blah. And candidate B says the same, and they give you arguments for and against the other person. And you, as a rational, fact-based individual, sit down and absorb these arguments, and you come to a conclusion and you choose your candidate. That is not what happens. So I actually think that choosing a candidate is much closer to catching a virus than it is any type of rational process.
What do you mean by that?
Well, let me explain. So every single year, especially in the big elections, you see gajillion yard signs go up. Why? Like, there's nothing remotely convincing about that. Like, nobody's ever said, I was going to vote for Trump, but then my neighbor put up a Biden sign, and I'm not so sure. Okay, so it seems really stupid on the face of it, right? but why do they do it? Like, do you think that they don't have, like, if there's, it's not swaying a single vote, there's nothing convincing about it? I mean, at best, there's a cheap platitude and a slogan, you know, build back better or make America great again. Well, I don't know. I really want to build back better, but I also like making America great again. I don't know which. It's like there's nothing remote. It's not even trying to convince you. It's just a slogan. Why do those work? Like, what's the point? I think the point is to spread the virus. Okay, so, and I literally mean that. I think that things like running for office is more about marking out your territory and people giving people something to feel like they are a part of than not.
So you're saying the more yard signs I see, the more I'll feel like, well, there's a lot more blue signs than red signs, so I'm going to go with the blue candidate?
It's probably more subconscious than that, but I do think, and it might not even be that, because you might like actually have a ideological opinion or, you know, bias or whatever, know who you want to vote for. But there is, it's the point is that it's not, they're not trying to convince you rationally. They're trying to mark out their territory. And that at some level, probably not you as an individual, but we as a mob respond to that. Okay? So we don't choose our political candidates based on rational opinions. Nor would we be capable of doing so. Like, forget your ideology, biases for a second. What do you know about being president? It's like, okay, Matt, here's a random company. We want you to hire the next CEO. Okay, well, I can probably rule out a few people. Like this guy can't read, so he's out. You know, this guy's in prison for murder, so I should rule. But, you know, you get down to a pool of candidates. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know. And now you're going to choose the CEO of the entire country. Like, we're not choosing based on competence or anything like that. And even when it comes to stances on issues, okay, some of them, you know, you are choosing from a moral standpoint. But if candidate A and candidate B have examples on how they're going to fix education, how do you know which one is better? You don't, rationally. You literally don't. You might, you know, like the candidate A says, well, mine's going to, you know, double the salary of every teacher. And you like that because you're married to a teacher. Okay, I'm going to vote for candidate A. But you don't know if he's actually communicated a coherent plan that can actually work. That's not a fact-based decision. So here's what I'm doing with this in a local election in my area, because I think voting's a complete scam, but I also think it's the best one that we have. You know, for those who listened to the Dune episode and heard me talk about compared to what. Well, I'm going to talk about that some more in a future episode. Maybe we'll even pull out that clip because I think there's some good stuff there that would be good in the main feed. But compared to what is a filter to put on reality. And whenever you're criticizing something, you should always ask compared to what, you know, not compared to the fantasy in your head, but compared to other viable options. So I think voting's a complete scam and it's the best one we have. So my compared to what is, I don't have a better option. So I encourage us all to vote because of that. But nevertheless, it's a complete joke. And what we actually think we're doing is not what we're doing. We think we're going in and making rational decisions and putting power in the hands of the people and blah, blah, blah. No, we're actually buying into various mind viruses and then acting as a mob and voting in probably largely mediocre people. And for positions that we're not capable of actually judging their competence on. Okay, so all that to say that in my neck of the woods, Anoka County, Minnesota, there's an election going on for sheriff right now. Okay, we've got two candidates, Paul Lentzmeyer and Brad Wise.
Can I ask you a question? Do sheriffs have to give a political party?
No. They're non-affiliated. So I don't know, you know, I don't know anything about Brad Wise or Paul Lentzmeyer. So I thought about this. It's like what you're supposed to do if you're under the illusion of being a good citizen is I'm supposed to go read about what Paul Lentzmeyer says And when he says, well, I'm as sure if I'd like for there to be less crime. And then I'm supposed to be like, I also like less crime. And then Brad says he'd also like less crime. So we didn't actually gain anything here. Like, I can imagine that if I was given every possible person in the world to choose from, I would put some rational thought into what would make a good sheriff or not. But I'd be willing to bet both of these guys clear all those hurdles. Okay. Like, I imagine they know something about being a policeman, but I'm actually not even convinced that's good. Like, that might be a negative for them. You know, rationally, it would seem like, well, we want an experienced policeman, but maybe not. Maybe the police are too corrupt and an outsider would be better. I have no idea. Like, I'm completely unqualified to make this decision, and so is everyone else who's voting in the Anoka County Sheriff's election. So the thing's a complete sham. So I'm going to tell you how I've made my decision on who to vote for. The first thing I tried is that I tried to pay attention to who had which yard sign in their yards and think back to, well, who did they have last time? So, you know, kind of farming out my thinking to my neighbors.
So, but if they had other people you didn't agree with.
Yeah.
And then they put that sheriff
on. Exactly. Okay. But I didn't get a reliable pattern that way. So my neighbors failed me.
Because I remember, you told a story about yard signs of your neighbors. Yeah. At some point. I don't know if that's...
Not those neighbors. They don't have one, but just in the general area where I live. So I'll tell you how I have made a decision on who I'm going to vote for. And I want to say that I know nothing about these two people. If you put them in front of me, I could not identify who is who. Not a clue. I know nothing about their positions. Absolutely none. But I'm going to be voting for Paul Lentzmeyer, and I'm going to tell you why. Brad Wise, on his sign, did not include any variation of the slogan, make the wise decision. And I feel like that was a huge oversight on his part and betrayed that he's not the right guy.
Well, do you remember what the other guy's slogan was?
He doesn't have one.
So you'd rather have no slogan than miss a great opportunity.
Yeah, neither of them have a slogan, but make the Lentzmeyer decision doesn't work. So he didn't have the opportunity. So Paul Lentzmeyer
could... not allowed to have slogans. For a sheriff's election.
Well, that's not my problem. Okay. You know, I appreciate somebody who tries to push the boundaries a bit. That's what you want in a sheriff. I mean, most of my knowledge of sheriffs is made out of Westerns. So I'm going to be voting for Paul Lentzmeyer, and I feel very strongly about it. I feel like Brad Wise clearly doesn't know how to take opportunities that are offered to him. And I don't want that in a sheriff.
Is that what this episode's about? Were you working up to? Is that your conclusion?
No. So this is a.
What does that have to do with mind viruses?
Well, the point is that the whole thing's a sham. So that's how I'm making my decision.
What a great episode this is!
I told you it was a facts hodgepodge. Oh, but I got a few more facts hodgepodges for you because, like I said, this is just there's not necessarily a solid through line through all of this, but you can make one up. You can rationalize your way through this.
So it was an illustration.
Yeah, it's an illustration.
Yeah, I like that story.
So the other facts thing that came up, though, that really blew my mind was, did you see the story on SSRIs?
I have no idea what that is.
So SSRIs are used to treat depression and anxiety, so antidepressants.
What does that stand for?
Serotonin receptor. I don't know. People can look it up on their own time. Just make it up because the fact doesn't matter. So, So anyway, antidepressants. And I've taken SSRIs for about 10 years, maybe a little bit more. And I would say that they've benefited me. And they don't work.
They just found out?
Yeah.
That just came out that they don't work?
Yes. So my first reaction to that was, what? Because here I've been taking SSRIs, and I would have said, yeah, they've objectively helped me. They don't work.
What was the study? The study found that...
Yeah, I mean, and who knows? Maybe there's a counter study out there that would say they do. But let's just, for the sake of the episode, let's roll with this, because they don't work. So we've all might as well have been taking sugar pills. But I think they do work. And here's my prediction, assuming this actually holds up. My prediction is that SSRIs have worked, but will soon cease to work for most people.
Because now there's this idea that they don't work.
Yes. Yes.
So when we thought they worked, they do work because our minds are powerful.
Yes.
So when we now think they don't work, they stop, their power goes away.
Yes. Now, it's up to an extent because the placebo effect can still work even if you know it's a placebo, which is really wild. Mm-hmm. Assuming this holds up, and I'm making an assumption there, and I'm not encouraging anybody to throw your SSRIs away based on one study that came out. That'd be a foolish idea, but they will eventually no longer work.
You know, it reminds me, we've talked about narrative and how story has power, and when people really believe a story, there's power behind that. That's what's happening here.
Yeah. So here's one more along those same lines, and then I have a final one to close us out on. That will be a little bit controversial, but that's what's fun. So the next one is thinking about masks. You know, so I've been really fascinated by how masks are doing right now. So there's kind of three categories of people out there, and the first two make sense. And the first one is people who aren't wearing masks anymore. That's the group I'm in. I hate them. Don't ever want to wear one again. The second group are people who are diligently masking, you know, where they don't have to. And that also makes sense. Like, not my position. I don't necessarily see the point of it, but you can understand where somebody was like, no, I still am worried about COVID. I don't want to get it. I want to reduce my chances as much as possible. Okay, that decision makes sense. The third group to me doesn't make sense. The third group are people who are walking around with masks in, this is assuming masks are not required. So you're in a state, area, whatever, that doesn't require them. And they're wearing them around their chins. And that to me is like, what are you doing? Because this doesn't, it's not required of you. I forget where I was, but I was somewhere a couple weeks ago and this guy had it, he had it below. I was at the airport. It was when I was flying out. There was a guy there with a mask on and it was just getting lower and lower and lower. And it's like, okay, everybody agrees this isn't doing anything for you. But then I start to think, maybe it is. Like, what if, this is pure speculation on my part, what if for some of those people, the fact that the mask makes them feel safer is why they're doing it? And I think that probably is why, even though they're not wearing it correctly. But what if it actually does? Like, maybe they are literally safer because it makes them feel safer.
Like, they think they're safer, so their immune system is actually stronger?
Yeah, I mean, I'd hesitate to put it into factual terms like that. But yeah, something similar to the SSRI thing, right? Like, they have a belief, conscious or unconscious, that's making them safer. I don't know. I mean, they look silly. I think everybody's like, either wear it correctly or take it off. But what if they're literally safer? What if the person who is driving around alone in their car with a mask on is literally safer because of it? But not because they're wearing a mask. Like, this isn't about whether masks work or not. It's about that beliefs work. Okay, so that's wild. All right, last one for this episode. That's that the economy's not great. At the moment, we got all sorts of inflation, and we may be in a recession. I don't know if you've followed the controversy.
We might be right now in a recession or heading towards a recession.
Well, so this is interesting because traditionally the definition of a recession has been two quarters of negative growth, which we've had. But then the White House came out and denied we were in a recession, despite that traditional definition. And then sites like Wikipedia, censored, you know, they change the definition of recession and lock the article. Okay. So there's all this big controversy going on. And then we had, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act, and which certainly doesn't look like it reduced inflation and blah, 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 blah. So conservatives, as you can imagine, are just lighting up the Biden administration over all this. And factually, they're probably right. Now, let me just say, before I say what I'm going to say next, to the extent that we're talking about the Orwellian nature of Wikipedia editing an article and then locking it so they can literally change the definition, to the extent we're talking about tech companies censoring and carrying the water of administrations or the media doing that, I'm 100% against that. Okay? I also think it's factually accurate to say that the White House is lying to you when they say we're not in a recession. I think that's factually true. And I'm going to say that it's 100% the right thing for Joe Biden to do. 100%. Why? What runs the economy? What's the biggest thing that runs the economy? Belief. So I don't like most of the content of the Inflation Reduction Act, but I'm glad that we passed a bill called the Inflation Reduction Act, literally.
So just to parse out what you're saying the average American citizen is hearing that there's an Inflation Reduction Act, and they're going to believe, okay, we're heading towards reducing the inflation.
Maybe it at least helps.
And then because they're changing the definition of
so the recession, the White House is lying to you when they say we're not in a recession.
But that's good.
And that is the right thing for the White House to be doing.
Because, again, the average American citizen will then believe, okay, we're not in a recession, things aren't so bad, and they'll go about their life as normal.
Yes. So part of the overall lesson here is that we say we don't like it when our politicians lie to us. And I would argue that part of their job is to lie to us, especially when those lies can move the dial on reality. Now, you can argue about how effective that is, and you can certainly argue that the administration should be doing other things. So I'm not talking about any of that, all right? I'm simply talking about the fact that the administration is lying to you and saying things aren't that bad is exactly what the president should be doing, okay?
Interesting point.
So I'm not a huge Biden fan. And I'm not defending a lot of his economics, but he did the right thing. Don't like the Inflation Reduction Act, but like they could have passed a piece of paper that just said water is wet and called it the Inflation Reduction Act, and I would have been in favor of it. Like literally. That's the way this works. It's not about facts. The biggest dial in the economy is belief, and to the extent that the president is able to lie to people and influence their beliefs, he should do so.
All right. Wow.
So that's what the facts, too. More facts.
Are you going to come back with some more
facts?
Maybe.
I mean, this one was kind of all over the place.
I mean, I like it. I like these thoughts, and I like that we are sort of saying facts versus belief. What's more important? It seems like we're landed on belief is more important.
Oh, it is. Now, yeah, the economy thing's fascinating because I don't think that's a good thing that our economy probably isn't a good thing that our economy is so belief-based, but it is. You know, the 100% of what happens in the stock market is based on what the people who are trading think other people think about it.
This might be a great time for us to start that stock market podcast I've been asking you about.
Oh, maybe.
You think so? So if I'm going to buy a house, like let's say we're going to move.
Yeah.
Is now a good time to buy?
It's terrible.
Okay.
Terrible. Well, interest rates are through the roof.
But I also want to sell. So is that good? Like, will I be able to make money?
No, because your interest rate on your current mortgage is probably way lower than what you would get on a new mortgage.
Gotcha.
So, like, I'm at a 2.5%, 2.25% interest rate. You're not going to get, your interest rates are like at 7% right now.
Right. That's just the facts. I'm Matt Anderson.
Yeah, goodbye.
We're the Sci-Fi Christians. Signing off.
Yeah.